Turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 5. Romans and chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our Father and God, we thank you for thy word, thy work, thy presence. God, help us as we help us. We're stepping into the awesomeness of yourself. And God, that requires you to make it possible. So deal with us. We'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together on Wednesday to remind us that we are yoked to God, and being under a yoke, you have a unique oneness, the ox yoke, because the yoke binds us, and the weight of the yoke is on each of the oxen, and they carry that same yoke. So God, you have made it, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells us to be yoked up to him. And when we're yoked up to him, we're on the same everything. Whatever he is and does and wants, all of that takes place because of our unique oneness by way of the yoke, by way of our identification with Christ. Now, having said that, oneness, unique oneness. Therefore, over in John, we share together that the Lord Jesus Christ says you need to abide. And unless you abide, without me you can do nothing. That's the same channel that the yoke is. You have to have a unique relationship to God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ to make something happen, to make something possible. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God, you require, and we share together a little bit in Sunday school, to be reminded and put on notice that God, we are to be understanding that we are created in your image and likeness. We are not like animals. We're not like angels. We are unique. And we're designed for a wonderful, wonderful purpose. And that purpose involves you. So now, therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we are not animals like animals. Animals have awesome, and we've shared all these things, and you know it better than I do. Instincts. Every animal, every creature, every fish, every spider, every bird, every animal has a unique instinct. And they can duplicate instantly the same thing their future, the people, the little birdies that lived long ago, the new birdie can just do exactly as is necessary and needful. Wow. Now, having said that, and they can do it perfectly, perfectly without even blinking an eyeball. And they enjoy the fullness of existence. The salmon enjoys the fullness of a salmon's life. He doesn't have any more, he doesn't have any less. He has the total life of the salmon, the total life of the squirrel. They don't have more life, they don't have less life, they have all the life that is there. Hang on to that. Now, so here we are, humans, and we are not like that at all, not in any way, shape, or form. So God, here we are in your image and likeness. Now, and you have made it clear in our little study of John to remind ourselves that without you, we can do nothing. Now, I need to understand that in order to grab hold of it better. So therefore, Romans chapter 5, and in Romans chapter 5, may I pick up, please, that which you're going to know all this. I just want to put it so it's one block of information in front of you. Chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. So, Adam died spiritually. He died physically, ultimately. He died. Now, so here's Adam. All of us humans, in the line of Adam, which is all of us, we all were born dead in sin. We're born, we have no life. No life whatsoever. We don't have that. And we understand a little bit at this point, the wages of sin is death. We just read that. And because of sin, we die, and we're born dead. So we're born dead. So hang on to that. And God, you had to do something wonderful for us to make that change. Now, what do we need? We're all born dead. Now, let me put that together for you. We're all born physically, and we have physical life. We have an earthly existence. And we have that. And our bodies are made for planet Earth. Our bodies are made of the dust of the ground. Our bodies are made of the dust of the ground, and we're going to go back to dust. And in the meanwhile, our physical body, with all of its unique parts and systems that keep it alive, going, all of that body needs what? It needs food. Food comes from where? The ground. What are we created? We are made of the dust of the ground. So what do we live off of? We have to live off the earth. That's how all of us live. And I don't care if you're just pasta or rice or whatever. Whatever you eat, it comes from the ground. And the cows, you say, I ate a hamburger. Well, the cow goes back to the ground. I don't want to get into that now. And all of that's there. So you have to understand that we are creatures. We have the air and the sun, and between the air, the sun, and the ground, that's how we have physical life. And your body functions based on the fact of that physical life coming from the ground, the air, and the sun. And we live it. That's how we live. And we don't do a thing about it. We just live in it. We were born physically, a little baby. Here we are. And here we are, an adult. And we live. We live. We live. We enjoy earthly life. And you're able to talk and walk and eat a hamburger or a whatever. And you can do all of that because you have physical life. And physical life from the dust of the ground gives you the wonderful privilege of walking about and doing and being and inventing and driving a car or whatever we do. We have that. That's because we have physical life. And the physical life, we already have it. And if we didn't have it, we couldn't be here today. We have to have it. And when we don't have it, we're dead. But in the meanwhile, having physical life, we're all dead. That means we can do everything, all 7 billion plus of us on planet Earth. We can all do whatever, eat whatever, go wherever, say whatever. We can all do that. No question. That's physical life. Physical life. It's terminal. We understand the physical life is going to end. Absolutely. But, we're dead. God has to quicken us and make us alive. So, All of the people, all 7 billion of us are out there, and we're enjoying life. Here we are. Now, God, is that what it's about? No. God, did you create us to be able to eat a hamburger? No. Did you create us to be able to build an aeroplane? No, I didn't do that. No, I created you to know me. And therefore, you need to be saved. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Christ died on the cross to save us. To do what? Give us life. L-I-F-E. Which no one has. Until God gives it in the person of Jesus Christ. No one has it. So all of us are busy on planet Earth doing what we do. And we do it. But we need to have a relationship to God. And that involves our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6. And you would recall, this is telling about why we're saved. Christ died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose again. I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, identified, immersed into Jesus Christ, were baptized, immersed into, identified into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in his death. Therefore, we are with him by baptism into death, identified. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For the reason, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So God, you did a wonderful thing. You went and died, born in Bethlehem, Judea, died on Calvary's cross, was buried and rose again to provide a relationship to you, God, our Heavenly Father, to know you in a way that gives us the opportunity to what? Well, we already know about physical life. We were reminded about that. And you got your 12 systems in here, whatever they are, all functioning, nerves and all of the different things making it work. We got that. But we don't have one to you. And that's why you died on the cross. The what? We aren't created to be able to. In fact, you tell us, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The wages of sin is death. The body's going to die. The person is going to lose their, it doesn't have a relationship to you, which they need to have. So therefore, God, you want us to be saved. That's right. I want you to have a unique relationship to me. Without a relationship to me, you can't enjoy why I created you. You could never enjoy why you were created. And you eat and drink and we age and we invent and we get a Nobel Prize or whatever. But all of that, trophies and all the grandeur and greatness goes to the dust of the ground. And we leave it. Absent from the body, God. And we leave it all. Now, having said that, you died for us to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to you. I did. Hang on to that. Without you, we can't have it. And you already made it clear. So you said, except we abide in you, etc., we have nothing. Nothing is nothing. Because, I'll do it another way so you see it. If right now I could go to the mortuary and wheel in here a carcass of a dead person, and I wheel the carcass in and put it out here, and I'm going to let you all walk around, touch it, talk to it, hit it if you want to hit it, and do all of it. But when you're all done, what are you going to pronounce? What are you going to say? This person is dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. Spiritually, you got the dead person, that's physical. Spiritual death is there's no God. We're missing God in here, in our heart, in our mind. We're created for God, His image and likeness, for God to be able to see Himself, find Himself in a human being, not in angels, in humans, for Him to find and glorify Himself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And without God, nothing. Period. That's it. That's it. You can't enjoy anything spiritually without God. How are you going to do it? You can't enjoy physical life unless you're born and your heart beats. You can't do it. And you can't enjoy God without Him. Without me, you can do zero. Now, I want to lock that in because the other side of the coin, if I can just get there quickly. Over, if you would, please, in the light of that, His wonderful life, His instinct that God gives us. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to turn there. Well, you might as well turn there and keep you awake. Luke chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. God. And in Luke chapter 2, our Lord is giving one of the few things we know about His life until He begins His public ministry. And He's 12 years old. He's at the in the temple area. And they're talking to Him. And He makes this statement. He makes this statement when He's done in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 49. And He said unto them, "How is it that you sought me? Wist know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" Now, what did you know, if you didn't know anything, our Lord Jesus Christ, up to age 12, has made it very clear to His mother, His stepdad, if he's still alive, Joseph, to the half-brothers and sisters, they know He is not like us. No, He isn't. He isn't. And His whole world isn't about carrying on Joseph's carpentry shop. No, it's about God and a business with God. And that's what it's about, His growing up. And in the meanwhile, verse 51, and He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. But he yielded, 12 years old, His mother and stepfather, He yielded to them. He yielded, He was subjective. Honor thy father and thy mother, the commandment, fifth commandment. He did it. But He was always about His Father's business. He's the perfect man, the perfect God, the God-man, the perfect man. That's what He's demonstrating. God, what did You want us to be like? I want You to be able to enjoy God, God the Father, by way of God the Son, by way of the Spirit of God that makes it all possible. Therefore, with that in mind, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And you know these, I'm just locking it in, and that's how we ever learn, over and over again. And finally, we don't just have it academically, we have it intellectually, and then we have it experientially. We need to have that. So now, over in John, Gospel of John, and chapter 8. And in chapter 8, may I pick up in thought, verse 28, our Lord is going to say, "Then said Jesus unto them," they want to know, how can we work the works of God, etc., etc. "And Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up, crucified the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, that I do nothing," there's your little word in John 15, 5, "I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please Him." So your whole life, 3 1/3 years of ministry, are going to demonstrate what? Publicly. You're going to demonstrate your unique relationship to God as perfect man. to have a relationship to Almighty God. Now, and in the process, you're going to die and go to the cross. In Christ, there's no sin. Otherwise, couldn't be a Savior. Christ had to be the sinless Son of God to die. And he went to the cross and died. He's making something possible that's impossible. A relationship that God intended for human beings to enjoy with Almighty God. To have physical life and have spiritual life. The physical birth to make possible the spiritual birth. If you're not born physically, you could never be born spiritually. So God, what did you do? We already got the human part, but God, without you, and our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly demonstrates. Chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up, please. Oh, in verse 18. The Jews therefore sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said, the big problem, also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Now, Lord, how did you answer that? Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing, there's your little word, of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I've come to represent God's wonderful person in a godless world. And I want you to know, as perfect man, I look to God for God to be perfect who he is. So when you see me, said the Lord Jesus, you're going to see the Father. John 14, you're going to see the Father. So now, and you already know that. Now, verse 30, I can do nothing of my own self, do nothing. If as I hear, I judge, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. It's a lie. It isn't about us humans. It's about God who created us. And God didn't create us like angels to be able to enjoy and appreciate and relate to God's marvelous person. And to acknowledge it. We aren't going to acknowledge it. We are to demonstrate it. That's what we're to do. To demonstrate it. To the angels, by the way. So here we are, God. And the Lord Jesus said, that's the whole purpose of your creation. So here's the allness of God. And God's wonderful, wonderful exercise in Christ Jesus of showing what? Jesus Christ said, nothing. I do nothing of myself. I am nothing. But you're a perfect man. I am. What's a perfect man for? To enjoy a perfect God. That's what I have to do. And therefore, God is what? God is going to be not instinct, that's animals. God is going to be my instinct. I am for God to live his life, to outlive his life in my little heart, said the Lord. The Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, for God to demonstrate visually his invisibleness by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and that's to enjoy what? The allness of God. God, allness, and we haven't even started Sunday school and all that, haven't even started that. The allness of God. God in your allness. All that you are. That's correct. To be able to enjoy all of God in a human heart, and God the Father is looking for your nothingness, so that you can enjoy his everything. Do you understand? God doesn't need you. No flesh shall what? Glory in his presence. You can't please me. I have to do it. It's about you. You aren't God. You're just created in your image and likeness to know God in a unique and most wonderful way. John 6:37. No, John 57, 37 is good, but 57. John 6:57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. As I live, just think of John 17, as my Father sent me, so send I you. They're the same. So, God, is that what you meant? I'm trying to help the world see it. I'm trying to help the world understand the Lord's gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, how are you doing it? Well, I'm going to do something very special, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the God-man. And God, you're going to go, and the only sign you're going to give, you know, is the sign of the prophet Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. An empty tomb. And what? You're going to do what? I'm going to show my wonderful person in my body, the church, the believers that know me as their Savior. I baptize them into my death, burial, and resurrection. They're identified with me. So that I'm going to demonstrate to the world, by them, eternal life. I'm going to show that. Show that. They're going to have what? Everyone around him could be dead if they aren't saved. But they're saved. And they have what? Oh, they have the earthly life to show that part of it. The world can look at them the same as they could look at the Lord Jesus Christ and see him. Well, he's a man just from the Mary and Joseph. They could see that. But they couldn't. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to grab who he was. He was God. And all he was doing was showing God's wonderful person to a world, the Jews in this case, that didn't want to know, didn't want to see. So here we are, John, in all of your fullness, in all of your wonderfulness. And in John chapter 15, where we were, hopefully, where we were. John chapter 15. And you will notice, as we read it, I'm going to read it again, as you know, we did it. John chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm going to stop for a sec. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read abide, and then if you're paying attention, if you want, what's the next two words? Abide in me. Got that part? I want to, God, are you good at emphasizing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you drive the nail home? I do. Over there. Therefore, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in, there it is, in me. Okay, verse 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth, and there it is, in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, how many times I got to tell you? You got to abide in me. God, who? God. How am I going to abide in God? In the person of Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He makes it possible for us to be so located in his wonderful grace and mercy, saved. We receive him as our Savior. And we're able to have an awesome life. And that's what it's supposed to be. For us to be able to show his wonderful, wonderful life, God, the allness of God. So God, what are you telling me? Without me, you can do nothing. But by the way, with me, what can't you do? Go over to chapter 14 for a moment. There are all kinds of ways to do this, but just here's one of them. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works, greater than these, more, shall he do, because I go to my Father. So God, in you, God, you're going to reduplicate and exercise your wonderful life, God's allness. So that, if you got that, you'll understand why he said you're going to do greater, more. Because I'm going to be in you doing what I did before I was crucified. I'm going to go and evidence my wonderful person in your life. That's what I'm going to do. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How could that ever happen? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ makes it possible. That's why. How can it be? Allness. You're nothing, but God's everything. That's why God says all things, all the time. Verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to do it. Wow. And think of Sunday school, if you would, sliding down to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And in the process, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, Father, God the Father, God the Son, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place in him. We're going to do that. That's an awesome. To say it simply, here's God with the flowers, the bugs, the billions, God's in his awesome essence, being, nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost created. All of it's in the middle of God. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yes. Now God, having said that, awesome, awesome, awesomeness, that God lives in the heart of everyone that received him. Now I know what I just said sailed somewhere up there in space. God, in his magnificence in you. And that's what the New Testament is. That's what the church, people are supposed to see when they see the local church of a truth, unsaved and ignorant, and believers that haven't grown. They're going to come in and say, of a truth, 1 Corinthians 14, God is what? In you. They aren't saying, what a wonderful boy, could they sing, and they danced, and they drummed, and they did everything. And they had free hot dogs and everything. No. About God. About God. In you. That's why we did in Sunday school. Do you understand God, his wonderful makeup, his person? Do you understand what God is really like? And without thinking about it, we don't have it. We got a view of God something, somewhere. Wow. And we can't enjoy God, his awesomeness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so his allness, so you have all of it. No flesh shall glory in his presence. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You can't enjoy life, spiritual life, without him. That's what you got saved for. People sometimes have the understanding, well, I'm going to know the Lord as my Savior, so when I die, I can go to heaven, as opposed to the other place. It isn't. God never says that. You won't read that in the Bible. Now, what God says is, you have to be transferred. In a moment of time, when you receive me as your Savior, you are transferred from death unto life. Just like that. It's to be able to have life here. Now, on there, that's just an extra. That's coming. But to have it now, that's what it's about. For what? God's allness. That God could be all. Where? In the heart. And you do nothing, and he does everything. He wants your nothingness for him's allness. So then you can go and study and do your work and home and cook and school and everything you have to do and be in easy and hard times, much and little. And you do all of that. Whether you eat or drink, do it all to what? My glory and honor. That's what I want. But your mind. And your mind in the kitchen, and your mind on the bus, and your mind at the work, and your mind in the classroom, your mind. Your mind. That's what I want. I want them to see me in you. But God, where are you? And now, remember we started off physically, the atmosphere, you're all breathing, and you all will have something by the end of the day of food from the ground. True? Somehow you're going to have something. Or maybe you're on a Weight Watchers and you'll have it next week. But somewhere you're going to get it. But you don't know it for nothing. You've all been breathing air, most of you, haven't you? And you haven't even paid attention. And you enjoy physical life. God, when I come to know you as my Savior, and I'm resting in you, abiding like the branch, then it's what? I got it. I don't have to work at it. I got to be saved. No, I don't got to be. I need to enjoy God's wonderful person. That's what I need to do. And God said he crucified me. So he isn't interested in my whatever. No, he's interested in that I enjoy my relationship to him and that in this human body, he's able to bring his allness into me, into you and me, so that we can enjoy it. And so we don't have to have, we just do it. We just like enjoy air. We enjoy the food that goes through and feeds our system. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you know, picking up please, verse 26. For we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things in the world to confound the things that are mighty, which are mighty. And the base, low things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen. Yea, the things which are not, God, all of that for what? To bring to naught, nothing, things that are. To bring to nothing, things that are. Look at verse 18, verse 19. As written, I will destroy the wisdom, verse 19. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. I'm wise. I'm a thinker. Good for you. No question. You don't need to think. But thinking doesn't save you, and thinking doesn't give you one drop of life. God does. It's God's life. Now, and having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so in God's wonderful fullness is God's allness, God's ableness, God's fruitfulness. And because when you get saved, God gives you a relationship called John 1:12. Children, you're his children. I'm saved. You're his son, as a son, adopted son, placed in the full privilege of a son. Aha. As brethren, my Lord says, puts his hand out, behold my mother, brother, and sister. A relationship. Wow. Brethren, you're his temple, are you? His temple to live in. That's why we pay attention to what we're doing, because we represent him as an individual, as a unit. That's why we do it. It isn't a picky thing at all. It's we're trying to share something, to communicate to the world in which we live. A temple, abiding for God's allness. Wow. Now, therefore, go over with me, please, Oh, to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, there's different ways to do this in the little time we have. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know God as you outwork your wonderful will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. What are you going to do with all your comfort and all your encouragement and all your stimulus? I'm going to go with my all, said God. And in your nothingness, I'm going to take my all, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, pressure squeezing. So God, what are we doing? We're going to tap on to your all for us so that we are what? Having all things. So we have all the comfort. Where do we get all of it? From you. Where else is it going to come from? It has to come from you. That's right. And you can keep reading. Verse 9. But we find we have this sentence, this answer of death in ourselves. What? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from, verse 10, delivered us from so great a wrath, a death, and doth deliver us in whom we trust he will. Past, present, future. God, are you going to be all in all that we need? Absolutely. Absolutely. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God. Now, God, how are you going to show your promises? By us. By us. So, God, we don't have the promises. We don't have the power to make anything work. But you do. And you're going to go and show your wonderful promises, all of them, to any measure you want and wish, desire, whether we show a lot or a little is immaterial. God, we're just to be vessels fit for the Master's use. God, to be able to enjoy God in a most unique way. That's what you want. It is. It is. So here, God, and we look at verse 14. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, 2 and 14. Thanks be unto God, which always, always, always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always? Uh-huh. And maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, so you can see it, the savor, the fragrance, the odor of his knowledge. How so? By us in every place. So, God, we're to enjoy your wonderful person. So no matter where we are, home, work, school, easy, hard, much, little, pain, headache, heartache, what are we going to do? We're going to enjoy your presence. Uh-huh. It's your body for your honor and glory. We're here. Our nothingness and your everything. So we go through all kinds of things, the measles and everything, whatever, and we do it. And it's all right. Pain, heartache, we do it. Why? Because you're there. And you're the God of all comfort. And so the world's going to be able to say, you go through the same stuff we do, but you have a way of handling it that we don't know. We don't know how you do it. We've watched your life. Are they watching your life? Are they? Work, home, school, aren't they watching your life? They are. What do you say? What do you say? Wow. So now, God, here we are looking, and you got the idea a little bit. Ability, God, wonderful, wonderful ability, sufficiency. While you're here in 2 Corinthians, why not? Boy, we just read chapter 2, verse 14, thanks be unto God, which causes us to triumph, making known his wonderful person in every place. And we slide down to verse 16 in the light of all the context. And to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other savor of fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient? Who is able? Who is competent for these things? And then you slide over to chapter 3 and remind yourself, who is confident? Well, verse 5. For that we are sufficient, there's your little word again, able, competent, ability to do things. We are not that we are sufficient, able of ourselves, competent to think anything of ourselves. It isn't about us. Nothing. Without me, you do nothing. Just keep putting it together. But our sufficiency is where? God. Where is it? God. It's you. That's right. You don't have instinct. You have me. I'm going to be your everything. The spiders are automatically going to do a perfect web. They're going to eat perfect bugs. They're all going to do it. But you are going to enjoy me as I show myself. You're going to enjoy me. That's what it's all about. That's what being saved is. That's what the church, local church, is the body of believers, showing that, supposedly. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And in the process, in verse 6, and who hath made us able, God made us able, God gives us sufficiency, the end of verse 5. Verse 6, God makes us able, the word able is the same as sufficiency. Able ministers, servants of the New Testament, not of the letter of the law, but of spirit. For the letter, the law killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So what do we need to have? A wonderful, wonderful life. Not, we aren't going to be able to do it, because we can't do it. Without me, you can do nothing. And God says it clear, simple, plain, in a most wonderful way. Would you go over with me? Over in closing, Philippians. Philippians, if you would. And I'm looking at Ephesians. Philippians. And in Philippians, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 21. Paul, help us. For me to live is Christ, and to die is great advantage. So what are you doing, Paul? I am enjoying a wonderful life. Whose life? The life of God, the uncreated life of God, expressing itself in the person of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God in the human heart, to be able to enjoy a unique relationship to God that grants what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. God, here it is now in chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful, be anxious, don't be have a divided heart. Be careful for nothing, chapter 4, verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Everything. Is there anything, God, that you don't cover? No. Your nothingness and my allness. Is there anything that's going to be left out all day today? No. I'm going to cover all of it. I'm going to cover 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm going to cover it. Wow. Therefore, God, don't be worrying. Don't do that. Worrying becomes sin. Don't do that. Not at all. In fact, slide over if you would. In verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, God, you said that. How did they learn it? Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, go down low. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, where did you learn all things like that? Well, God let me fall down and I got a bloody nose. God let me get up and I went to the next thing and the next thing. And God, I learned. In the College of Hard Knocks, I paid attention. I'm learning. I'm getting it. It's finally going to sink in. I don't have to be 110 years old before I get this. So God, Verse 19. My God shall supply all, A-L-L, your need, according to the riches, his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. God, you're going to provide it all. That's what I said. That's who I want to be. I want to be your God. What do you mean, God? God. What do people do? They pray to God. Don't they get in trouble and they pray to God? Pray to God. Pray. All of it, out of them. Somehow God. Oh, we know him. We're to enjoy him. We're to thank God for his saving grace, so that whether we ask or think, Ephesians 3 in that, 20, above, beyond anything we could ask or think or dream of or wish or want, God, you're able to do exceeding abundant. I am. So I didn't ask. I'm not going to make you. In fact, I may let you fall down and break your nose twice. I may let you fall down and break your leg. But be of good cheer. Look to me. It isn't your leg or it isn't your nose. It's your heart I'm trying to get. It's your heart. The rest is easy. Without me, you can do nothing. Oh, we're going to speak and bring a message. Ah, try it. Come up and try it. Try it. I'm going to handle it. No, listen, the life's problems and people they're difficult. How do you handle people that don't think right, come out wrong? God, you have to help us. Because us humans, who knows what we'd end up doing? Wow. School, growing up. God, you got a wonderful plan. I do. Wonderful plan. First grade, second grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. And if you survive and have enough money, college, be able to go, you know, you'll be in debt for 35 years, but be of good cheer. What to do is go to a cheap school. Is that all right? Find a cheap school. What to do? What can I tell you? It isn't about that. Don't worry about that. If you just lock onto God, I don't care if you ever go to school. I don't care if you were brilliant, PhD 10 times over. You just need to be a simple little heart for God to enjoy himself in. Do you understand that? What's so hard about that? That's all he wants. He said, I'll be your father. Didn't he say that? The world's busy trying to find a father, trying to survive and succeed. But Matthew chapter 6, you don't need that. You have a heavenly father who knoweth your N-E-E what? N-E-D. Need. He knoweth your need. Now what are you sweating it out for? That's how you're going to go. Well, boy, that means I got to have a full trust in you. You betcha. Without me, you can do nothing. I told you that. It was a simple thing. Nothing means nothing. You got to learn it. And then you enjoy it. Do you understand? You may have great strength and you're going to go and fight Goliath. And you may have a good slingshot. But hey, don't trust your ability with a slingshot. Trust God to take the slingshot and do what he wants to Goliath. So you're trusting God, not the slingshot. You're trusting God, not your ability to pass the test at school. To go to work and do the job and do whatever you have to do and survive all the politics and power structures and all of that in school and business. And God, you have to help us in it. So, God, that's what he's for. He said, I'll help you through it. I'm not trying to fix it. I'm not trying to fix the bar room down the street. I'm not trying to fix all the different political stuff. No, I'm trying to save whosoever's that I can find that would trust me. And I want to show myself to them. I want to show myself to them and the world. Because it isn't about government or politics or education or anything. It isn't about that. It's about your relationship that God created you to enjoy his wonderful person forever. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, God, and as we seek to just get a handle on it, thank you very much. Thank you very much. For those who know you're not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them. God, for us who have a very foggy, carnal relationship, and we can't enjoy, God, because we got too much of ourself and our pride and our stubbornness. So, God, you got to help us in all of this. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for long before being angry. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that, oh, God, you want to do it, and we want you to. You got to help us. In Christ's name, amen.